Well, we've been sharing a little bit. It's on Mark chapter 9, verse 50, and it says, "Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other." So what is Jesus talking about here when he says, "Have salt among yourselves"? I mean, does that mean residential? You got it in your kitchen? No, he wasn't talking about that. What was he actually referring to? Because the reality is every living being has salt within themselves. You have about, if you broke it all down, you have about 40 teaspoons of salt in your body. That's about somewhere in there. So we all have that. The thing is it needs replenished. I know it's interesting that our body, the percentage of salt within our body is about the same as the percentage of salt in the ocean. And so a lot of the illustrations that I just felt to use is just, where's all the salt come from? The ocean. How does that get in there? And how do we have salt in ourselves? What Jesus was referring to here is basically, you say this, have faith. In other words, he was saying, do you have faith? Because really that's the saltiness that he was talking about. Is, do you have faith? We could say, the challenge here, he says, have faith in yourself. Instead of saying, have salt in yourself. Now, salt, I've shared this a couple, 3 or 4 weeks ago, how it doesn't lose its saltiness. It doesn't change what it is, but it can be diluted and it can be damaged. And our faith, as we go along in our Christian life, can be diluted and it can be damaged by different things in life. Circumstances in life could be sin, could be just us gradually drawing away and maybe I'm not going to read my Bible this week, or I'm not going to pray this week, or I'll skip church this week and next week. And do you need all those to be a Christian? There's a difference between being a Christian and going to heaven. Sometimes we throw all those together. You think, I'm going to go to heaven. I don't need all that. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to pray. I don't need to do all those things to go to heaven. You go to heaven because of your faith in Christ Jesus and what he's done for you. It's not by works. But to be a Christian, to be all that God wants you to be, to really experience the fullness of salvation, you need to do all those. Without those, we're going to miss out. It's not something, it's not a law, it's an opportunity. It's not something where you have to do that. It's more like you get to do that. You get to experience those things and enjoy them. It's like if you worked all week and you didn't, and you just kept leaving your paychecks and never picked them up. I mean, the whole purpose is like, here's the reward. I mean, there's so much blessings in getting to be together, so much blessings in the Word of God of finding out. So all those things are part of how we have salt in ourselves. And one of the things I guess is asking yourself is, do you have salt in yourself? Do you have, this is a question Jesus asks, and to stop and say, where am I? Am I salty? Where's my faith in God? And one of the indicators of that, is what we shared is our speech, because Jesus said, it's recorded in Luke 6:45, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So our mouth, if you listen and just listen to your conversation, it's okay. I don't know how many ever had your temperature taken or had your blood pressure taken. I mean, the whole purpose of that is find out how you're doing. And that's the whole purpose of listening. It's good to listen. What am I talking about? Have I even talked about God this week? Because if we're not doing that, then we have to say, it's not like it was something to indicate, okay, God, if I'm not ever talking about you, then there must be some saltiness that needs to happen. There's something I've lost. Or another thing in James, it says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. That's in James chapter 2. So our actions, what actions is going on to indicate we have faith, to indicate saltiness? Sometimes it's not just what we're doing. Sometimes it's what we're not doing. Sometimes we're not participating. We're not going along with the crowd. We're not doing things like everybody else, that in itself is saltiness. You know, what it basically is there a flavor of Jesus in our life? Is there something? I remember when I first got saved, I didn't have any Christian friends. I got saved. And the one Christian friend I knew lived in Texas because he was going to school now at a university in Texas. And so I had my worldly friends. And I knew something has to change here, God. Something has to change. And I was the designated driver since I didn't drink, you know. And so I go and I kept thinking, you know, this doesn't seem right. You know, I'm here in these, wherever we go, you know, stuff. We're setting these pubs or bars or whatever they were, and I'm sitting there. And I'm thinking, I remember one of them, I was passing out tracts in the bar. It was all over. I won't tell you where it was, but it was in Bucyrus and passed them all over the place. And I think I told you guys this before. But this guy, I went up to the bouncer there, and he had one eye. He was 6'7" or 6'8", weighed 380. And I know this because the guy who owns the bar said it. He brought him out in the middle of the whole thing and said, he told his height, weight, who he was, and challenged anybody who wanted to try to fight him now, come and do it now, because he was the bouncer and stuff. So I walked up to the bar and I handed him a track. And he goes like this. And then I start away, he goes, hey. He said that to me. He goes, are you passing those around in there? I go. Now, see, I live in present truth because I thought, not anymore. I was, but I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not passing those around anymore. But I knew, well, I told you that, I knew something needed to change, you know, because I was over here at the mall and this young man who I went to school with, high school with, he came up to me and I said hi, and he was telling me, and I told him I was a Christian. I received Christ as my Savior. He goes, he gave me that look like, he goes, didn't I see you in such and such place the other day, which was something? And I knew, no, I said, I knew. I mean, it was just like a sword cut through my heart because I knew, yes, God, this needs to stop. You know, I knew something, and I said, yes, but you'll never see me there again. And I never did. That was the end of it. So God had to put that salt. There's something has to be changed and different from the world. If we look exactly like the world, then something's missing. We shouldn't look exactly like the world. And so having that sense of where do we get that salt in our life? Well, one of the things I shared this before, where does the ocean get all of its saltiness? And one of the places is from rain coming down on the rocks and the stuff, soil and everything, and running all through the rivers and going. What it does is the acid in the rain dissolves some of the minerals and rocks it takes to the ocean. So we ask to say, well, what is that equivalent to our life? Well, one is that we need the Word of God. We need the rock. You know, we need this. We will not, you cannot be salty without the Word of God. You have to be in the Word of God. And I'm going to challenge you. I don't mean, and I think they're great, you know, but just reading what somebody else says about the Word of God is not the same as you being the Word. You need to have your own personal relationship. You need to hear God yourself and being in the scriptures and just asking, say, well, I don't understand. I look at it. Well, I would encourage you, first of all, if you haven't been in the Word, start with the Gospel of John. Go to the Gospel of John, read it, but realize none of us understand. Without the Holy Spirit, none of us understand. I had a professor at Ashley University. He was in, he told me, he goes, well, he goes, I read the Bible 6 times. We had gotten this discussion in front of the whole class, and it was a production operations class. So we got in this big philosophical debate in that class. And it was pretty heated. And so, but anyways, and I think, well, but that's because you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit is what helps us understand. If not, it's just another book, you know, in some ways. I believe God's Word is powerful. You know, the Holy Spirit uses it. But being in the Word of God, the second one is being in worship. You know, do we stop and allow that presence, the reign of His presence, to be a part of us? So that was one thing we shared as far as where the salt comes from. Another place which we shared, I shared about a couple weeks ago, was a term, let me find it here, it's called submarine volcanism, which again is not Star Trek and not Mr. Spock, but it's the fact of these volcanoes. There's thousands of volcanoes under the ocean, and we don't see, and when they erupt, they're spewing all kinds of minerals and stuff up into the water and putting salt elements up in the water. So the question then was, where is the Holy Spirit in our life? Do we allow the Holy Spirit to erupt in us? Do we allow his presence to come and meet us and be a part of us? In Ephesians, Paul says one of the prayers, and this is something you could pray for yourself. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. The Holy Spirit told Paul to pray that. So if the Holy Spirit told Paul to pray that, then that's a prayer we should pray too. That God, I need you to strengthen my spirit to the power. I need those eruptions of the Holy Spirit inside of me. There's a scripture in Ephesians 5 that says, do not get drunk on wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. You know, there's a lot of wine in the world. It's not just drinking wine. There's all kinds of wine in the world. You know, all kinds of stuff on media and social media and all kinds of stuff we can get into and, in a sense, get drunk on. That it just gets us intoxicated into the things of the world. And he says, don't do that. You know, one of my prayers for you guys that I pray many times during the week is that God helps us not be drunk on the things of this world, but instead to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's a prayer, again, we could pray for ourselves. God, help me to see that. I don't want to be drunk in the world. I want to be sober from the things of the world, but I want to be, there's two parts, not just being sober from the world, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, well, what's that mean? That basically means whatever filled means. I mean, when you say something is filled, it's filled. So it's basically, it's yielding your life and say, God, I want you, I want all of you. I want you to fill me up, whatever that means. You and God define that. You know, I can't say, well, that means you do this and this. It's not a do this and this and this. It's a relationship. And so what is God? What's that mean to you to be filled with the Holy Spirit? God, let me be filled with the Holy Spirit, whatever that means to you in your life. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. We need the Holy Spirit. If we want to be a witness, if we want to be salty, you have to do it through the Holy. The Holy Spirit has to be a part of that. And 2 Corinthians 3:18, which is this is sort of review of what we shared a few weeks ago, it says, and we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So our faith, our saltiness, when we move into saltiness, we're taking off those cloaks. You know, and it says, if you read it in the context of that scripture, that's really what covers the Muslim people. It's what covers the people who don't believe in Christ. It's because it says there's a veil over the heart. And when you become a Christian, when I became a Christian, that veil was removed. That veil to believe in Jesus as my Savior. That veil to say, God did send his son into the world to die for my sins so that I could be forgiven and God could love me. But you know, that was just one veil. I had a lot of other veils that needed removed. I had other veils of things in my past, my own beliefs and concepts and philosophies and all kinds of stuff were there, and God still needed to pull those back, and he still, and you know what? There's still more there. I know there's veils there. He hasn't shown them to me yet, but I know he will. And whenever he takes a veil back, this is not that he's not willing to take those veils back, it's that I need to be willing to allow him to do that. And all of those come by faith. It's all based on faith. Faith that I trust and believe that God is who he said he is, and he does what he says he does. If you read in Romans chapter 1, it's really what's the whole problem with the world. It's the whole problem with America. It says in Romans 1, it says, because they did not recognize God and honor him for who he is, God gave him over to a depraved heart. So the opposite of that is true also. When we recognize God and we honor him for who he is and believe what the Bible says, then our heart is open up and we begin to receive and understand what he has for us. So that's how we go through. And he wants to take those veils off of our life And each one of those times, every time, and you guys could probably testify this, every one of you, whenever he takes one of those veils off, there's freedom. There's joy. There's the fruit of the Spirit. There's love. There's peace. That's what he wants to do. He wants to free us, you know. And things, you know, the thing is just because he took a veil off me one time doesn't mean that veil won't try to come back on, you know. There might be things in your life. There might be a sin that you might have dealt with 20 years ago that sometime the enemy wants to come back and try to put it back on. He said, no, I'm not receiving that veil. You know, I'm not going to have that. So that was all review of what we had over the last couple weeks ago. So today, I want to share the third thing. So those are the two things. First of all, how salt gets into the ocean. It's through rain and the rocks and goes to the river stuff. The other one is the volcanoes. But the third thing it does is the ocean water goes down through. There's all kinds of caverns and stuff down on the bottom of the ocean. And the water runs through that and it picks up minerals, picks up all these minerals. There are all kinds of those going through. For us, you know, as Christians, we need each other. We need to be around each other. We need to, you know, if we're around faith in somebody, then that faith can rub off on us. It can stir us. How many of you have ever been around somebody that because they did something, you believe you could do it too? Because they were able to do something. You know, I don't know if you saw the little quote the other day of LeBron James and for the Cavaliers. You know, and he basically carries that team. I mean, he's really one of the, he tries to inspire. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about. He's a basketball player, for a professional basketball player. I will share this little thing. I love this thing. I don't know if you saw when he went up for a shot. This basketball player jumped on his back. Another NBA player jumped on his back and tried to keep him from shooting a layup. Well, he shot the layup anyways, made it. That basketball player flew off his back and fell on the ground. LeBron James walks over and goes, I thought, yeah. Anyways, they were talking to him. They were interviewing him. And he said, they go, well, do you think when your injured players come back, he says that everything will be great and your team. And he said, he goes, you know, I don't know about that. Because, you know, there's only one person who's ever going to come back and everything is going to be great. And that's Jesus Christ. I thought, good. Now, I'm not saying LeBron James, I don't know where he is in his faith, but I thought, good, that's the truth. You know, say it. But you know, we need each other. We need, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:24, I think it's up, I got it up here, says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, this encouraging one another is basically saying, give salt to one another. Stir each other's faith. Encourage one another what God has for you. And you know, when I see like Ryan was sharing the other day, I don't know if you saw, Ryan, why don't you come over here, if you would. Ryan, why don't you share what you posted on Facebook, what happened last weekend.
All right, so we're, hello.
Hey, Pat. Can you turn Ryan's microphone on, please?
Check. Okay. So we're in Hanoverton. We're ministering. We had a worship service, and it was really great. And then we were praying for two different groups of people, and one of them was people who were harboring bitterness or anger towards somebody else. And there were like two people praying for people, and then like six people online and eight people online. I was like, oh, okay, I'm not on the prayer team, so I'm just going to keep sitting here in my seat and they'll get through the line eventually. And then I was like, okay, maybe I should just go up and pray for somebody. And so I walked up to somebody and I started praying with her, and she had been harboring a lot of bitterness and anger from, it was 3 years previous, her daughter had committed suicide. And it was in part because of an emotionally and verbally abusive husband. And so obviously she had some very ill feelings towards him and towards the situation as a whole. He wasn't letting them see the grandchildren either. And so she wasn't getting to see her grandchildren. And so we prayed at length for all of that, for a release. And then as we were wrapping up, she just kind of started telling more of the story. And she said, and I've also been having this pain, this almost crippling pain in both my legs and my back and my arms and my shoulders. And I said, well, you know, a lot of times the stress caused by that harboring of anger and bitterness can actually manifest itself in your muscles and stuff like that.
Sure.
And so we prayed again for the forgiveness and again for the bitterness to be to dissolve. And then one of the things I remember praying was that just as the muscles release when you finally feel that release, that she would feel that in her heart and her soul too. And then the next day she came back and went through the whole service, and she said, so I got home last night and I laid down in bed and I thought, I don't hurt. And then she's like, well, but I mean, maybe I just relaxed because I prayed. We'll see how tomorrow goes. She woke up in the morning and she didn't hurt. And she went through the whole day doing her stuff, and went through the evening service standing and praying and worshiping through the whole evening service, and then caught me at the end of the Saturday night service and said, I have no pain anywhere in my body. There was one small spot that she still had from a car accident like 10 years previous, but other than that, her legs and her back and her shoulders were fine.
Amen.
And she also, then she also said that she was feeling like peace in her soul too, so.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So Ryan, did that encourage your faith? Did that encourage your faith? So if you hear a story like that, does that encourage your faith? And so that's part of that sharing, that saltiness. You know, the thing is realize that we always don't have to be the one to have to spur one another on. We may maybe be the one who needs spurred on, and that's okay. That's why God put us together. You know, that's why we really encourage small groups. You know, small groups are a great place to have that happen, or being on teams and stuff. Being around God's people is important to have that saltiness. So the last thing, so you got all these things going on in the ocean. But you know, all those things is not what makes the ocean salty. Because all those things goes on a lot of places. A lot of lakes have those, maybe not the volcano stuff, but they have a lot of stuff going on. But what is it that makes the difference? And the biggest difference, this is the key thing which makes the ocean salty, and it is evaporation. And the evaporation from that, what happens is the water evaporates and it leaves the salt. Now, for us, how's that apply to us? There's a point in our life, if you want to be salty, Jesus said, for whoever wants to save it, their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. There's something about sharing our faith and giving our faith away. That does not just mean verbally. That means sharing your faith. That means praying for somebody. You know, it means taking food to somebody, you know, helping somebody. What I heard, I'm trying to remember who it was, just the other day, they were saying, oh, it was a pastor at a pastor's meeting, saying just being nice to people, kind to people, being polite nowadays, just showing manners, saying please and thank you, you know, things like that. There's something about doing that for the Christian. It's like evaporation. It allows that salt and allows you to become saltier. So if you want, it's not just taking it all in, but it's mostly it's giving it out. And to ask, how am I evaporating? How am I allowing my Christian faith to evaporate from my life? The thing is, you got to have it coming in. You do have to have it coming in, because if you don't, then you're just going to evaporate. You know, but it's how do I have, I got to make sure I cover it in, but don't let it stop there. We need to allow, and that's again, that's up to you and God. You know, I'm not going to say this is the way it happens, but the way it happens is there's a sense of what Jesus said right here. He says that there's a sense of losing your life. It's not always, evaporation is not always comfortable. It's not always convenient on your schedule and on your time. Well, let's see, next Monday at 2:00, I think I can evaporate, you know. But it's just allowing that to happen. And so, you know, there's a verse Jesus said, verily, truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. You know, that's Christianity right there. It's not trying to live and mimic Jesus. It's letting the Holy Spirit live through us and looking to say, Father, what are you doing? He said, well, how can I see the Father? How do I do that? Well, these are the best glasses you can have. It's looking in here, looking in the scripture, see what the Father, learning about the Father, what he does, his heart, and then allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you for that to happen.